as your tears freeze on my lips, and I won't forget to say I love you. Through the ruins ghosts your Cadillac, I kiss your hand, you watch my back as the sniper's bullets whistle past my window.
British indie rocker by the name of Nicky Rubin, who spent many a year in Kyiv on the indie rock scene there, did the nightclubs, and made quite a name for himself there and gathered quite a following. One of the reasons was that song, Ukrainian Kiss, and that is a recent remake. He just sent it over. It's just released recently. The lyrics are completely different from the original that he performed in the nightclubs back in the 90s and early 2000s. And this one, of course, if you listen to the lyrics, you can make out it's quite contemporary theme. Again, that was Nicky Rubin and Ukrainian Kiss. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network. I'm your host, Павліна. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, and quite a bit of it. There's some breaking news as well, so stay tuned for that. As well, we've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and a review of a book that has just been released. It is a book on the Babyn Yar tragedy and a really contemporary take on it. And incidentally, right now going on in Kyiv are commemorations of the 75th anniversary of that incredible tragedy that occurred during World War II in Kyiv. So all of that coming up as well. We've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a song that goes back quite a ways to about 1982 or 3. And this is a group from Edmonton. It had many incarnations, and as far as I know, I think it's still got a recent one. This one is from As I mentioned, early 1980s, and it is from an album called Soundscapes, and one of the members of this group just happened to be my co-host back in the early days of Nash Holos back in 1990-96 by the name of Bohdan Zaitsev. Here he is now with all of his fellow bandmates in the Dumka band of 1982. Here they are now with a song that we used to refer to as Hutsul Reggae. It's called Oi Upoli Ruta Ruta. There is a red rue in the field.
Want to listen to Nash Holos without using your web browser? Well, it's very easy. Download Stitcher's Smart Radio for iPhone and Android.
Wysłuchajcie radio programu Nasz Holos, Radio Ukraińskiego Korienia, po mereży PCJ Radio, jaka podaje wam angielską mowę z brytyjską i Kolumbii w Kanadzie. You're listening to Nasz Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
International team of prosecutors named the weapon used to bring down MH17 and the precise location from which this weapon was launched. Joint investigation team investigating the downing of MH17 flight over Donbass in 2014 say the missile that hit the plane was fired from a territory controlled by Russian-backed militants. They said the missile launcher was brought into Ukraine from Russia and returned back after hitting the plane. The prosecutors claim they would investigate about 100 people over the incident, but didn't give any names yet. Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 was hit by a surface-to-air missile while en route from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, and all 298 people aboard were killed. At the time of the disaster, Ukrainian government forces were engaged in heavy fighting with Russian-controlled separatists. Boeing 777 broke apart in mid-air, flinging wreckage over several kilometers of fields in militant-held territory. The incident played a significant part in a decision by the European Union and United States to impose sanctions on Russia over the Ukraine conflict, and east-west tensions escalated to levels not seen since the end of the Cold War. One serviceman was injured during a night combat in Avdiivka. Russian-backed forces shelled Ukrainian positions with heavy mortars, forbidden by Minsk agreements. Several towns were shelled overnight, all around Mariupol, mostly with grenades and armoured personnel carriers. Overall, there were 35 shellings during the last 24 hours, most of them near Mariupol. Russian proxies used small arms, grenades and machine guns. Several snipers were also involved. Despite constant shelling, Ukrainian army continues to stick to the Minsk agreement.
50 odd attacks and constant provocations overnight in the eastern Ukraine conflict zone. According to the ATO headquarters report, the area of Horlivka has become a hotspot over the past day. From that direction, militants fired with 120mm mortars. Armored personnel carriers operated in that area as well. Russian proxies used grenade launchers, machine guns and small arms, shelling the town of Mariinka, along with enemy snipers. Ukraine's armed forces didn't return any form of fire, and there have been no reports of any injuries or death among Ukrainian soldiers. Two soldiers of Ukraine's armed forces were injured overnight in the Donbas conflict zone. As the ATO headquarters report said, they tripped a mine near the town of Avdiivka. The Avdiivka industrial zone was again a hotspot last night. Russian-backed militant forces fired prohibited heavy artillery and mortars into Ukrainian positions. There was also constant shelling in the area of Mariinka. Near the town of Popasna, Russian proxies used anti-tank missiles. In Luhansk region around the town of Zolote, militants blocked OSCE observers who are trying to monitor the local situation, which is under the Minsk agreements. This information is also confirmed by the monitoring mission. Earlier, the deputy head of the OSCE monitoring mission, Alexander Hook, arrived in the area of Zolote, where according to the latest Minsk agreements, parties agreed to withdraw armies 2 kilometers in both directions. The admission of OSCE observers to this site is one of the provisions of the latest Minsk deal.
Custody for 2 months. This is the court verdict of Alexander Pugachev, the suspected killer of 2 police officers in Dnipro. Pugachev took part in the court hearing by Skype from a hospital bed as he needed medical help a couple of hours after the shooting incident. One of the police officers managed to shoot the attacker before he was killed. So Pugachev, having a bullet in his stomach, went to hospital. The suspect assailant is in good health and will be taken to prison soon. He recovers very quickly. We plan to let him walk already. I think he will be transferred by the end of the week. After two police officers brutally killing, National Police started a discussion on possible changes in regulations. Police head Katia Dakanoidze says police rights must be expanded. Moreover, both police and citizens should have strict rules of engagement. Even word fights should be punished.
Verbal harassment of police officers must be punished. It should be obligatory because it influences the situation. It is a very important moment.
Dekanoidze also wants to implement the presumption of rights of police officers and other rules, like prohibiting drivers from exiting the car when stopped by police. For now, these rules are not executed yet. Nevertheless, there is one important change. Starting this week, bulletproof vests are obligatory to wear not just at night, but during all the shift hours.
A year for the Crimea blockade celebrating in Kherson region. In 2015, activists blocked all the roads leading to the peninsula, not letting any truck with goods travel to Crimea. They blocked the roads for 5 months until the Ukrainian authorities officially stopped any trade with the occupied territory. Crimean Tatars decided to celebrate the anniversary of the blockade with a rally at the Chonhar border checkpoint. The campaign was supported by local residents and activists from other regions. People were walking towards the peninsula border to emphasize once again that Crimea is Ukraine. A year ago, there was only one tent here where activists could sleep over. Now there is a whole camp. Crimean Tatars, who were forced to move to Kherson, gathered into a community formation called Askar. This time, border guard officers closed the checkpoint for travelers for an hour so that activists could walk to the administrative border with Crimea, avoiding any conflict situation. We would do anything and everything to return to our land. I've already said that our coming back to Crimea and Crimea's returning to Ukraine will happen earlier than Kremlin would like. Russia plans to deploy up to 10,000 military personnel 100 kilometers from Ukraine's border. Russia's armed forces are completing the construction of a military base in the southern part of Rostov region. As the Russian Defense Ministry reports, it will be a motorized rifle division. First military exercises there are scheduled for December the 1st this year. The end of the construction coincides with the finale of Russian large-scale drills Caucasus 2016, which were held in annexed Crimea and near the border with Ukraine and Baltic states. The exercises were designed to train the joint army forces to repel attacks of a simulated enemy. The conflict between Ukraine's National Anti-Corruption Bureau and Prosecutor General's office when their employees arrested each other is in its second month. Namely, on August the 5th, detectives of the Prosecutor General's office came to the premises of the bureau, searched, and confiscated some documents. A week later, special task forces of the bureau came to the prosecutor's office and a fight between two agencies' workers erupted. The National Anti-Corruption Bureau representatives say the case with the prosecution officer, who was arrested on September 22nd, has nothing to do with revenge. It's a normal, everyday anti-corruption investigation. The prosecution officer was investigating 5 million hryvnias bribery allegations against the head of a village in Cherkasy region. And while searching the premises of the village council, he stole tickets for hundreds of liters of petrol. Now he has been accused of embezzlement. The man is from the Department of Special Investigation of Economic Crimes at the Prosecutor General's office. It's the same department prosecutors were fighting with special task forces of the National Anti-Corruption Bureau and later dismissed by Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko. Now, a pre-trial restriction must be chosen for him.
The tickets could be used for 350 liters of petrol. He's a senior prosecution investigator of the Department of Special Investigation. We initiated our inspection after the affected party claimed it.
Ukraine will meet auditors from the International Monetary Fund as soon as this autumn. This was what President of Ukraine Petro Poroshenko and Director of IMF Christine Lagarde agreed upon. They also discussed the recent economical development of our country. Petro Poroshenko talked about supporting Ukrainian reforms with the United States President Barack Obama. The presidents also exchanged views about implementing the Minsk agreements. They did not talk about giving Ukraine lethal weapons at this time. We did not raise the question of lethal weapons, as our agenda at the moment is the realization of agreements on providing $600 million. These assets were assigned to Ukraine by the US to support defense sector.
Ukrainian pilots have already returned from Malta to the city of Mykolaiv. Two fighter planes Su-27 and a transport aircraft Il-76 participated in the Malta International Air Show for the first time, and the Ukrainian pilots managed to impress the European audience. They showcased breathtaking stunts in the sky, the majority of which couldn't be repeated by others.
Oleksandr Oksanchenko, муж, который мав участь...
Flown 1,000 kilometers back home for 3 hours in planes, but we were fine. Oleksandr Oksanchenko was recognized as the best pilot in Czechia for incredible stunts of his fighter plane in early September. The pilot himself is proud of the airplane. It's maneuverable, easy to fly, and looks gracious in the sky. There are not so many high-class pilots in Ukraine. Only the best went to the air show, where 35 countries were represented. The performance of Ukrainian pilots was sensational. They were even recognized by their uniform. However, they confessed that there were a lot of things to learn, for example, flying at sea level. They say it will be their task for the next year.
Emergency drill at Borispol International Airport. First, emergency brigades took 3 minutes to arrive, but they met all international standards. An emergency siren rang at Borispol International Airport yesterday. Everyone arriving and landing could see a burning plane and a rescue operation taking place on the takeoff strip. The most extreme situations were exercised at the airport, ranging from landing without an aeroplane undercarriage to an actual plane crash. These are the largest scale drills ever happening here. First, emergency brigades took up to 3 minutes to arrive. This is an international norm for airports bearing the international status. One of the extreme situations practiced was a catastrophe of a military plane AN-26. The legend says, due to engine failure, it cannot reach the landing strip. Pieces of the plane are scattered around several kilometres. Military aviation took to the air to monitor the site. Our task is to guide a rescue team towards a crash site. There is no better view than from the air. In case of faulty tyres on undercarriage, rescuers create a foam line. It's a hard task to land a plane on it, but Ukrainian professionals mastered it. Over 200 workers are involved in the training. Almost all departments of technical support, medical and military services were engaged. That's why consistency of all actions is essential, especially when dozens of lives are at risk.
Born without hands and legs due to a rare inherited disease, managing to overcome every obstacle, Nick Vujicic, Australian motivational speaker, philanthropist and a real superhero, delivered his lecture to Ukrainians on September 25th. Bloodsporto Concert Arena, where the event took place, constructed wheelchair ramps to create a barrier-free environment for hundreds of physically challenged people, as well as unchallenged people who wanted to attend. The speaker shared his own experience of life without boundaries. Thanks to 1+1 TV channel, which facilitated his visit to Ukraine, Nick Vujicic was impressed by the project called The Victors, the initiative designed to change public perception about people with disabilities, and highly appreciated it.
Ukrainian Paralympians return home after a 25-hour journey. They landed in Borispol Airport late at night. Despite the wind, rain and cold weather, hundreds of fans, friends, relatives, servicemen, volunteers and journalists awaited the winners to arrive. The welcoming crowd lined up, forming two rows at the arrivals terminal, which was specially allocated for the Paralympians. Relatives and friends of athletes were best prepared. They had flowers, balloons, and welcoming banners.
I made a medal and such a symbol. We are meeting Losha from his third Olympic Games. We have cooked pies and dishes he likes best.
The only thing the crowd did not like was the long official ceremony. Everybody had to stand and wait until it was over. I heard them screaming and thought like, oh my God, they'll eat us.
It's a pure joy to bring 4 kilograms of proudness back to Ukraine.
Ukrainian schoolboys and girls take part in an internship at the world's largest particle physics laboratory, CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, where the Large Hadron Collider is situated and Higgs boson was discovered. The program primarily designed mainly for teachers and college students. However, Ukrainian children managed to impress European scientists, becoming the only children around Europe who can take a look backstage at the center. Ukrainians have been facilitating the work of the center for years. One of the main breakthroughs of Ukrainian scientists became the essential part of the collider. These elements are called scintillators and were created in Kharkiv in early 90s and used by the world as a basic component for the collider. CERN representatives were initially confused by how much knowledge the Ukrainian children had and thought they were college students. However, they later figured out they are still pupils, although very talented, and made an exception admitting them to an internship. After a while, CERN coordinators started saying that we deceived them, that we sent second-year students because pupils cannot have such a knowledge.
It's not just theory here, we have practice. Today we experimented with the Wilson cloud chamber. I learned how all particles work in different environments.
Starting from October, Ukraine plans to become an associate member of the European Organization for Nuclear Research. The Ministry of Education, Lidia Hrinevich, says it's important for both scientists and education. Oktoberfest dressed in Ukrainian vyshivankas. For the first time, Ukrainians took part in a large-scale parade of national costumes parade in Munich. Amongst traditional Bavarian dresses and leather pants, there were vyshivankas from central Ukraine and the Ukrainian Carpathians. Ukrainian costumes were worn in the dances. The majority of participants formed part of the only Ukrainian folk dance group in Germany. Plakhta, Ukrainian national female dress, Zhupan, Ukrainian national outer garment, and postoli, types of shoes popular in Ukraine before the 20th century, are all ordered from garment makers living in Carpathians. Grandmothers from Carpathians sit at home and tailor them for us. The National Costumes Parade traditionally takes place right after Oktoberfest opening. Those who want to take part in the event have to apply a couple of years before. The rules are very strict here. Participants of the march have to walk exactly 104 steps per minute. The march down the Bavarian streets is full of people of any occupation. Spectators are highly excited. It's amazing, a very dynamical show. We were applauded so much, it was so great. We're all impressed and have no words to describe everything.
We were warmly welcomed. I didn't expect it.
From now on, dances will continue at Oktoberfest with German beer and sausages.
From Israeli Tel Aviv to Ukrainian Uman, thousands of Hasidim are arriving in Ukraine for the Hebrew Year 5777 celebration. On October the 2nd till the 4th, Israelis will celebrate the Jewish New Year. Major celebrations of Rosh Hashanah traditionally take place at the grave of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the founder of the Breslov Hasidic movement. A record number of pilgrims is expected for the 5777th New Year. At Juliani Airport, where the first charter flight with 160 Hasidim aboard landed, Ukrainian taxi drivers are waiting for their Israeli customers. The standard price to Uman is round about 1,000 hryvnia, or $40. For the newcomers, they make discounts. However, the majority of pilgrims have ordered buses beforehand, which will take them to the city. Local residents of Uman are also ready to earn some extra money during the celebrations, despite inconvenience caused by thousands of people coming to their city. One night's stay in an apartment costs around $100. Some people who came for the pilgrimage to Ukraine are surprised by the cold weather, especially compared to Israel. Each year breaks the record for pilgrims travelling to Uman. This year it is no exception. Up to 50,000 Hasidim are expected. Borispol International Airport is expecting 81 charter flights by the end of the week. Hasidim believe that if you meet the new year near a Tzaddik grave, the whole of the next year will be full of happiness.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. and for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv.
Донбасом в кровову годину поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину, поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину. Україну злії люди хочуть зґвалтувати, тому стали українці її захищати, тому стали українці її захищати. Із всієї України зібрались завзяті, грудьми встали до загину рятувати матір, грудьми встали до загину рятувати матір. Ради смерчі урагани, смерть носила люта, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути. Буде жити добра слава на землі козацькій, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській.
And that was a song by Ukrainian soldiers currently in the field. And that song was called Oy Uluzi Pid Donbasom, a meadow in the Donbass. And coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Tin Sonsya, and that means Shadows of the Sun, and a song that's become quite popular of late. It's been around a while, but it certainly is apropos these days. It's called Yihale Kozake, Riding Cossacks, and also an alternate title, Slaves Do Not Belong in Paradise. Tin Sonsya.
Oh, się serce jak ptaszyna biecia.
And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baeger. It was always a very scenic area of forests and ravines, a very pleasant green zone on the edge of the city. Picturesque. It was once known as the Switzerland of Kiev, innocent and bucolic. All that changed over the course of a couple of days at the end of September 1941. Babin Yar, on the outskirts of Kiev, became a global symbol of the Holocaust and entered the language as shorthand for unfathomable cruelty and unprecedented loss of life. Babin Yar was the site of the murder of nearly 34,000 Kievan Jews that dark September. The killings continued over the next couple of years during the German occupation of Kiev, with continued shootings of tens of thousands more Jews, as well as the Roma people, the patients of psychiatric hospitals, Soviet prisoners of war, Ukrainian national activists, Communist Party members, and ordinary residents of Kiev taken as hostages. We are still coming to grips with this legacy. Now a new book, entitled Babin Yar, History and Memory, is dedicated to the commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Babin Yar. This book, sponsored by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, is the result of the collaborative effort of scholars working with the editors Vladislav Hrinevich and Paul Robert Mogochi. The scholars are from various disciplines in Canada, France, Israel, the Netherlands, Ukraine, and the United States. All the contributors were united by a desire to inform the international community about the history of one of the 20th century's most terrible human tragedies. They also wanted to underline the importance of preserving its memory. At the center of the book, of course, is the history of a Nazi crime. But this history is a departure point for a deeper discussion. The book also covers the politics of memory and forgetting from the Stalinist period to the present day, and the cultural memory of Babin Yar. The contributions to this volume are based on documentary sources and academic research. The essays provoke questions for further discussion, especially since the various authors may raise the same questions, but do not always arrive at the same answers. As the editors in the introduction to the book point out, this most recent anniversary of the Babin Yar tragedy allows us to understand that the past is not some construct set in stone, forever fixed in place. It is instead a dynamic phenomenon open to new discoveries. Every era and every generation contributes its own vision and interpretation of the Babin Yar tragedy. These are expressed in a variety of dimensions. Finally, it is important to point out there is a generational aspect to the reinterpretation of this tragedy, as every generation does this in its own way. The book also poses questions, especially to those who were born in an independent Ukraine. What is Babin Yar in our memory? And how does this memory fit into our understanding of the past, and into the philosophical and ideological picture of the present and the future? As the editors remind us, to know and remember the Babin Yar tragedy means not allowing such a crime to be repeated, And in the Ukrainian experience, Baban Yar is also a symbolic farewell to empire and its mythological legacy, a return to the work of sadness and the formation of a culture of mourning. As Norman Neymark of Stanford University points out in his preface to the book, Baban Yar is in many ways still unfinished business. There is no consensus on how to memorialize the Kievan Jews killed there. There is also considerable confusion about how to deal with the multiple interests of victim groups, in addition to the Jews, who lost substantial numbers of their people at Baban Yar. But as Neymark writes, one thing is certain. Baban Yar will be remembered in Ukraine. In the wake of Ukrainian independence in 1991, the Orange Revolution of 2004, and the Euromaidan demonstrations of the winter of 2013-2014, Ukrainians and Jews have linked arms to honor those who perished at the hands of the Nazis during the war. Baban Yar unites their common grief and inspires common hopes for amity, justice, and truth. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baker. Until next time, shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Шабарабара, 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 шабарабада. Сонце засне, пригорнеш до себе, і місяць моргне, і зорі забудуй, на небі миготить, коли ти зі мною замріяний світ.
And a group from the United States of America. They are called Malve, and that is the Ukrainian name for a flower, the hollyhock, to be exact. And that is another song that harkens back to the early days of Nash Holos back in the 1990s in Vancouver. That was a song we played often because it was just such fun. It sounds kind of like a flapper tune, and but it is definitely a Ukrainian folk song done in that very peppy style. And again, that was Malve from the United States and a song called Serce Smiecia, A Smiling Heart. And coming up next is another throwback to that era. This is a group called Fata Morgana, and they are also an American group. They're originally from Ukraine, but they emigrated back in the late 20th century, and they put out a great number of songs. The lead man happens to be named Oleksiy Kerekesha, and here he is with his group Fata Morgana, and they're contemporary rendition of a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oy Upolinevka, Out in the Cornfield. Very best in Ukrainian programming. Tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www. www.nashholos.com, where you can get podcast links to all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page and do follow our blog. Nežáme, že skončila naše programu, pora na prošťaty se na štěvdejn teždejn, po vše často domový zkazaty do pobačenia. Ale před tím, jak hoču založit vás takými slovami mudrosti. Spoky ta radist žitě prodoužujúť. And our proverb of the week translates as peace and joy prolong life. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos here on the PCJ Radio Network. To take us to the end of our program, we have the By Request Band from Steinbeck, Manitoba, from their CD, Ukrainian Boys Gone Wild and Peter's Special. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobaczenia.